Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
I'm good. I'm getting a little excited for the astral phenomenon happening this week.
What's happening?
We're getting the Perseid meteor showers.
Oh, I thought maybe we were finally going to get struck by a big asteroid and end it all. Damn.
Well, maybe it'll be like a million little asteroids. But yeah, supposedly like cloud cover is supposed to be good around me. We may get like different colored meteors because they have different kinds of ore in them.
Sweet. When is this happening?
Tuesday and Wednesday night.
Oh. And is it like middle of the night stuff?
I assume when it gets dark.
Let's see,
it peaks Wednesday night. Says it'll reach its peak on Wednesday night into the early hours of Thursday.
Okay.
And that could be anywhere up to 100 meteors per hour.
Wow. I may have to stay up for this. I haven't seen a good meteor shower in quite a while.
I don't believe I've ever seen one.
Really?
Yeah. Nope.
I remember as a kid, in like August, camping out in the backyard, and setting an alarm to get up and look at the meteor showers.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you go out there with your telescope?
No, you don't need one. You just look up.
Oh, you just look up.
Yeah. That's nice. One of the cool things about this is that they're so visible that as long as you don't have cloud cover, which I guess I'll have to check to see if what the weather is going to be. I will have to look later, I guess. So it's Tuesday and the Wednesday. Well, rain chances are low, so maybe it'll be clear. That's cool. Are you going to get up special, or are you going to be up, or?
I'll probably be up. See what it looks like.
Yeah.
And then get bored after 5 minutes.
I've seen meteors. Yay.
Yay. Nap time.
Well, I'm still waiting for the big one. Pick, come down and crush some places.
The big one?
The big meteor. Yeah. Big asteroid that ends it all. Because that would just be, you know, par for the course. So what have you been watching?
Let's see. So I finished Heroes.
Okay.
First season, really good. Fourth season, pretty good. Season two was the victim of the writer's strike. They only got 11 episodes out.
Yeah.
And between that and season three, it was like incredibly confusing because they kept jumping around the timeline so much. It's like, okay, where are we? What's happening? But I really liked the first and the last seasons.
Okay.
It was a good story. It was, you know, the typical superhero thing where they go from being good to bad to misunderstood. The carnival is in season four, and it didn't bother me as much as I thought it would.
Okay.
And maybe it's because I was thinking of another superhero series that didn't last four seasons. I don't know if you remember The Cape.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which apparently is only available to buy. So,
Oh.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I figure with all the streaming I have, not one of those goddamn channels.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, so I finished that. And then I've been watching some new stuff.
What have you been watching?
Did you end up watching Masters of the Universe?
I did.
And?
I liked it more than I thought I would.
Okay.
I'm very happy that there's very little time actually spent on Earth.
Yep.
It's like 2.5 hours, which I thought they could have cut a little bit out of. This would have been a really solid 2-hour movie. But I like the fact that they leaned into a lot of the stupidness of Masters of the Universe.
Yes.
They explain why there's a guy named Fisto and there's a guy named Ram Man, that Prince Adam doesn't know their names. And he's basically just making them up.
Right.
So, you know, you get...
He's a little kid.
Yeah, he's a little kid. He's making up these things. They all have actual names. Like, and I even like when he's sitting there talking to Man-at-Arms and Teela, and they're like, you didn't have a name for yourself, did you? And he was like, yeah. Well, what was it? He-Man. And they're like, what does that mean? And... he's like a manly man, and Man at Arms is like, aren't you just repeating yourself? Like, it was handled in a way that I thought was appropriate for, we're turning a cartoon about toys into like a live action thing.
Right. And whereas the other version of it took itself way too seriously.
Yes.
This one was just fuck it.
Yes.
Let's just have fun.
Yes. And, you know, you can see the DNA of other movies in this one. He gets on the little speeder bike thing and he's going through the big forest. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, Return of the Jedi. You know, like they're not breaking new ground. They're taking the source material and they're doing the best they can with it. And it literally, like, it's better than it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I when Dolph Lundgren showed up, I was like, oh, here we go, here's the obligatory cameo. But you know, he was like, it was the passing of the torch, and he was just like, yeah, I know you're trying to be me and you're trying to do right. this. And you know, I thought Homeboy looked fine as He-Man. You know, he's not like super muscly, but they either digitally enhanced or took away his muscles as Prince Adam or Adam, because he is a little bigger as He-Man, and he's not ridiculously big. He's not like The Rock big. He's just like toned, and
right.
That's all it needed to be. That's all, like, you know, I know everybody was like, oh, he doesn't look like He-Man, but he was fine. I mean, you know, he doesn't need to look exactly like the cartoon, but you know, at the same point, like, I don't know if they're going to get a chance to do a second one because of the box office and the fact that they just threw this on Prime to, you know, for everybody without like it being like a rental.
Right.
You know, I don't know how they're going to do that next thing. So like, will they get to do She-Ra? Well, she was in the end, but maybe we won't see her. You know, they did an Orko for like the end of, you know, the cartoon where he was like, what did we learn? You know, they could have incorporated him in the next one or whatever, but like, it's a good looking movie. they didn't spare any expense in visual effects.
No.
You know, and they like the ridiculousness of like the dude with the long neck, and you know, even Skeletor. I don't know how much of Skeletor was considered, or they visually enhanced. Obviously, the face. But
right.
I'd love to see behind the scenes images of Jared Leto if he was on set or if that's a body double. I don't even know if that's actually him or whether he just provided the voice. But I'd love to see like what that performer was actually wearing as opposed to the final, to see what they did enhance and what they didn't. You know, and Skeletor is as absurd as he is in the cartoon.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people were like, oh, you know, that ruined it. And it's like, obviously you didn't watch the cartoon, because he would throw temper tantrums and he would blame everybody else. And, you know, so I just thought it was very cool. It was better in a summer of, movies that are based on toys and video games and stuff like that. I thought this did pretty well. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I just thought it was a fun movie. You didn't have to think too much. I loved how the music sounded like Flash Gordon. And then I found out that Brian May was one of the collaborators.
Oh, well, there you go.
So it's like, oh, well, that's perfect. But Flash Gordon was one of those stupid comic book movies that, you know, didn't take itself too seriously.
No.
And then, of course, the Dolph Lundgren cameo, which was perfect.
Yeah, and I was actually kind of expecting, I was almost kind of expecting more nods to that first one. Like there could have been like the key thing sitting, like Skeletor could have had like the key. You know, I don't know. There was just a bunch of stuff where I was like, and I'm like, they didn't need it. Like there didn't need to be that, but like the fact that this happens almost entirely on Eternia is just much better than like, you know, the original Masters of the Universe.
Right.
You know, and he didn't, I was also glad that He-Man doesn't show up in the last 10 minutes, that he's actually He-Man several times and he goes back and forth.
Right.
You know, I liked that a lot because it wasn't like, I didn't feel like they were just like, here's the origin story, and he doesn't become He-Man until the last 10 minutes. It was more, okay, here you go. We're just he's going to be this dude, and, you know, everybody's going to look like they did in the cartoon. You know, Man-at-Arms is very much what he looked like. Teela gets her like outfit towards the end of the film, and like, yeah, I don't know. It was very cool.
Yeah, I think for what they did, it was a success.
Yes.
You know, it's what a summer movie should be.
Yes, I agree.
And, you know, it just did really, really well in what it was, you know, trying to do. So hopefully there's some future in it.
Yeah, I don't know, because it was done by Amazon. I mean, the one real groan moment is when they're fighting in the city and the guy gets hit by an Amazon Prime truck. And I was like, okay, there's the product placement. You know, for that, I was just like, but like, being that it's a Prime backed movie, I don't know what their metrics are for like whether or not they would do a sequel.
Well, Well, and Amazon's not really known for supporting their IP once they're done with it.
Yeah.
So, who knows? Maybe somebody else will pick it up.
Maybe.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Another movie I watched was Devil Wears Prada 2.
Oh, yeah.
It was okay. It was kind of a nostalgia cash grab.
Okay.
Didn't break any new ground. I mean, I guess Anne Hathaway needed some work. It was all right. I mean, if you liked the first one, it's, you know, the same.
I mean, I'll be honest. I don't know if I've ever seen the first one. If I did, it was
it's
a
very
long
funny.
Time
the
ago.
First one is very funny.
Is it?
And Meryl Streep is very good.
Of course.
She's like a total bitch for like 90% of the movie. And she kind of was again in this. So it was, you know, same old, same old.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that's already on streaming.
So did they skip the rental buy it like timeline for that one too?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Maybe that's the new thing.
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, maybe they're looking at viewership as opposed to like box office right now.
I mean, they're not going to do that with Spider-Man, but like maybe if it's not hitting the numbers, they're just like, well, screw it. We'll just dump it straight to streaming.
Yeah.
As opposed to the cost of making discs and, you know, whatever, like they're still going to do that for like the hardcore collectors that want like physical media. But like, maybe if it's just eyes on the platform, maybe that's what they're going for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would make sense.
Right. I saw a couple of articles on how Brand New Day compares versus like the live action Moana and why one was, you know, a huge success in the eyes of, you know, movie fandom, and the other was less. But Moana has done really well too.
Has it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the opening weekend for Spider-Man was 162 million. Live action Moana was 148 million.
I thought Spider-Man broke $1 billion in his first weekend. Like worldwide.
No.
Because they had said that. They had said that Brand New Day was, it's the second fastest movie ever to $1 billion.
Well, does that include the second week, third week?
Yes. Like it, the drop off for Spider-Man Brand New Day was almost nothing.
Right.
And like we saw it last Saturday and it was an 11 a.m. showing that was sold out. And so as we were sitting there, I pulled up my phone just to look at like the other showings throughout the day. And there was like, I think there's 20 theaters. And maybe 15 were all Spider-Man. And
wow.
they were all sold out for the entire day.
Hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, I think when it comes down to it, though, like one is a remake and one is a telling of a new story.
Yeah.
You know, if Moana didn't have The Rock as Maui and like shot for shot redone, you know, maybe it would have done better.
Mm.
But you're talking about a movie that was out less than 10 years ago. I don't remember when the original Moana came out. But like all of a sudden now you're going to redo it? Like, I don't know. One seems
well, they're
to be
already filming the live action Tangled.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we should be lucky that, Marvel keeps getting good stories, good scripts, good casts.
Yeah, and like, you know, this Spider-Man movie, the Tom Holland Spider-Man films have been hit and miss for me.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Homecoming. Far From Home, where they're in Europe, I was like, this isn't really my bag. I thought No Way Home was better, but it's still not like, I've only seen it once. And like, my enjoyment of a film is how many times it like the rewatchability of it.
Right.
But this, I thought, told an interesting story. It brings in new characters. It's very much connected to what's going to be going on in the MCU. It's a really good film, based on Spider-Man. And right. Like, I really enjoyed it. I've like the Punisher's in it, and Tom Holland and John Bernthal have like crazy stupid chemistry together. Like it looks like they're brothers. It really does. Like brothers that get along.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like, okay. Like that's the kind of energy that you're getting from them. And you know, when they announced that the Punisher was going to be in it, I was like, oh, okay, it's going to be like a cameo. And
right.
there's you know, they had talked about, there had been a leak that like there's going to be this big montage in the beginning of all these people that Spider-Man has fought, and like you're going to see other Marvel characters in there. So I was like, oh, okay, that's where we're going to see him. But he is throughout the entire film, not like the entire time, but like he keeps popping back up. And you know, as the Tom Holland films have gone on, there's always been other Marvel characters that pop in. You know, Iron Man is in Homecoming, and Nick Fury is in Far From Home, and like there always seems to be somebody that is helping Peter. And in this one, you get Mark Ruffalo as Bruce Banner, but you also get Frank Castle. And the last time we saw Frank Castle, he was basically walking through, what is it, like the Bronx or Queens? Like just,
yeah,
you know, on a rampage. And you can see, like, so this movie happens about 4 years after the end of the Punisher TV show special. So, but you can see how it's still the same Frank. They didn't try to take any of the stuff away that they built up in that special. He's just 4 years removed from that, and he's made some decisions, and like, you can see positive character growth. And that, I think, is a really cool thing that they've done, because, you know, we're coming up on arguably the biggest crossover film. And I don't even think it's a crossover that much, because there wasn't a shitload of movies leading up to Doomsday. There was one or two, but like not everything connected to it the way that original set of films connected to the Avengers or to Thanos.
Right.
But they were able to tell a fun, entertaining story that moves the bigger story along. And Tom Holland's really good in it. Zendaya's really good in it. And it's just like they had the right filmmaker with the right actors with the right story. And from what I understand, Tom Holland was very instrumental in the story, very instrumental in, like, he had asked Sony and Marvel to hold off so that he could go film The Odyssey. And that gave them an extra like 6 months to like tweak the script. Mm-hmm. And I think it's all in a positive direction. So I really enjoyed it. I think it's a very worthy inclusion into the Spider-Man franchise.
Okay.
Which is interesting because it's technically a Sony property. And, you know, Sony gets these billion-dollar movies, and then Marvel, you know, tries to put out something and they get, you know, absolute shit for it. But I mean, Sony has had their share of missteps, you know, Madam Web and Morbius and
yeah,
all the other bullshit, Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you liked Spider-Man and you like those Tom Holland films, it's definitely worth a watch.
I'll see it at some point.
Yeah. It was funny
because I've been watching.
Well, before I tell you that, it's funny because I had read an article of like, they were talking about the kind of actor that Tom Holland was turning into, and that like, if Spider-Man Brand New Day did as well as they were expecting, which it has, he would be an actor that was in $2 billion films in the same summer. And I was like, well, you can't just talk about him because Zendaya and John Bernthal are also in The Odyssey. And
right.
Like, it's weird that they're just saying like, oh yeah, Tom Holland. And it's like, well, no, there's other people that are in the same things. Like Tom Holland isn't the driving force in The Odyssey. Like he's part of the story, but just as big a part of the story as Zendaya was. So why aren't you throwing Zendaya some love of like, oh yeah, she's in a $2 billion films too.
Right.
It's just weird. Let's see. I am on season 3 of The Bear.
Okay.
I am flabbergasted with the writing on this show. I don't consider myself ignorant in the way that like TV shows are made. I consider myself fairly intelligent when it comes to like filmmaking and stuff, but I do not understand how they've written episodes. I think it's the first episode of season 3 where they tell Carmi's backstory, and it's just quick cuts for almost the entire thing of going back and forth of his time in New York and Amsterdam and how he's being berated by one chef while he's being like guided by another. And the entire hour is this, or half hour, whatever it is just this back and forth, but it's telling a story that you do not lose the plot for. And they've written it in a way where like, there's a shot in that episode where he sends a picture to Mike, who is John Bernthal, and he shows it to Tina, and that scene is actually from an episode like 4 episodes later, where you're seeing Tina's story, and it's kind of written the same way where you're going through her life, and then she winds up and she's talking to John Bernthal, where all of a sudden he gets a text. And it's that picture from like 5 episodes ago. And I'm like totally blown away. But like, what does that take? How much planning does that take in order to do those kinds of stories?
Right.
Like, and none of it, like, you know, you're sitting there, and I truly believe my favorite episode so far is, I mean, I liked the Christmas one, but
okay.
The one that's after that where Richie goes to work at the other restaurant to learn. And,
yep.
You know, he starts out and like, Richie's not really a likable character. And you're like, oh, mm-hmm. Man, this is just going to be all him. And then he like gets inspired, and you see, you know, he's talking about how he's 45 and he doesn't know if he's lived a life that's worth, like, you know, and he starts to connect with the job and he starts to like get it all. And like all of a sudden there's Olivia Colman pops up and you're like, what the fuck? You know, and it's just like, by the end he's in his zone and he's become like the character growth in just that single episode would take another show like years of development to get a character to there. And they do it in a believable way in like 30 minutes. And I was like, what am I watching? Like it's so good. And it's so well written that like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. And it keeps up that momentum to the very end.
Yeah. I mean, I was watching one the other day and they're getting, they've been reviewed and they're waiting for the newspaper guy, the photographer, to show up, and they're going along. All of a sudden, door opens, in walks John Cena. And I'm like, fuck, he's in this too? Like, just the amount of people that they've gotten to just be in these tiny roles that, you know, doesn't seem like it adds anything to it, but they're these giant, like, it's just so fucking amazing. Like, and you know, the Jeremy Allen White was in Mandalorian and Grogu as Rod of the Hutt.
Yep.
And you know, he's good in that, but it's not like an inspired performance. Like, he's this big slug guy and they alter his voice a little bit because, you know, of the weight of the character or whatever. So I saw that, and then I was like, I was going to start watching The Bear, and I was like, my only real exposure to Jeremy Allen White was Mandalorian. So I was like, all right, but he's so good in The Bear. Like, he gets locked in that refrigerator and he's flipping out, and you feel every like emotion come out of him, and it's like, wow. Like, that's something. And I know he's won awards for it, but like, it's something like, until you see it, you know, oh, okay, he's a good actor. But when you see it, you're like, oh, that's why. Okay. So it's really good. It's, I'm burning through it at a decent pace, but like, yeah, it's something else.
Yeah, he also got good reviews for playing Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet.
I haven't either. But now it's getting closer to the top of my list.
are you caught up on Star Trek?
Yep.
So in the past 2 weeks, we had a horror episode. Where they
not like, only a horror episode, it was like a haunted house episode.
Yeah. So, and like they've done this before in past seasons where each episode is like its own take on a genre. But like going as far as like Spock getting his ears cut off, and like there's a scene where Una basically just shoves a knife in her side, and I was like, okay, this is intense for Star Trek. Like they were not pulling any punches when they were like, we're gonna write this episode that's basically a horror film. It was very well done. It felt very you know, if the first episode where they go back to the past and deal with dinosaurs felt a little Jurassic Park-y, this felt...
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
This felt Event Horizon. Being that Sam Neill was in both of those films and he just passed away, I'm sure that there was no, you know, they didn't suddenly be like, oh, that's got to be the second episode. Just fucking amazing. And then this week we had an episode that was sillier,
which is was dude, where'd I park my shuttle?
Or The Hangover. Like, there is a mashup uh-huh. of those two. Yeah. Pike getting the tattoos all over his face, I thought was very funny. And then he gets his speech on his hands, so that as he's telling uh-huh. the speech, he's just reading it off his fingers. I thought that was really cool too. They seem to really be swinging for like the fences tribute. In the last two seasons.
Right, right. Did you like the tribute to Bonnie Tyler?
Yes. Again, like, they had no way of knowing Bonnie Tyler would have just passed away.
Right.
You know, and like, they've been 3 for 3. Everyone has been like has had some tribute to somebody that's just recently passed away, which is weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought the episode was very funny. I picked up on like all the little nods they were putting into it, and it's like, oh, okay, so this is like a stoner movie.
Yeah.
It's like, well, they're on this planet that's got a different kind of atmosphere, and they're reacting to it.
And fucking Dave Foley's in it.
I know, right?
Dave Foley shows up as an alien, and you're like, wow. The first time I saw him, I was like, oh, is that him? Am I seeing Dave Foley in that? And then I looked it up, and mm-hmm. sure as shit, yes, he is. I was like, wow, cool.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it was a lot of funny stuff in that one.
Yeah.
The whole where Scotty wakes up and he's in a Mugato costume.
Yeah, yep.
I was like, this is like brilliant. Brilliant.
And even what's her name? Erica Ortega's. Where she wakes up and she's got the Andorian horns on, but one of them is broken uh-huh. off. And
yes,
on the credits, they show other scenes and she's got them on, but they're full. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. some shit went down that we didn't even see. It was just very cool. And like, Uhura's dressed in like the like almost like a pixie outfit, like really weird.
Uh huh. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think I knew Rebecca Romijn sang.
No, I don't think I knew that either.
So, yeah, it was very funny.
Yeah. Ah, Star Trek.
Let's see. Did you watch Silo?
Yes.
Both episodes?
Yes.
Okay. The episode memory, I wasn't that really impressed with.
Okay.
But the one that follows it.
The one about the hard drive?
I thought was really well done. And they're finally like answering questions. Was it the drive?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But they spent an awful lot of time in the past. That's like, all right, what are you trying to tell us?
Yeah, like, I really felt, especially in the drive episode, all of the pertinent information besides the last 5 minutes of the flashbacks was in the silo itself. Mm-hmm. You know, you're getting answers from Bernard. You're seeing the rift between the head of IT and the head of judicial. Uh-huh. There's the cops that are looking for the murderer, and they're starting to see weird shit. And it just felt like every time they flashed back to the reporter and the congressman stuck in the car, I was just like, okay, I don't want to see this part. Like, just get back right. to the shit that actually means something, which was mm-hmm. great. Like literally there could have been a short scene in the beginning of like, we can't get out of the car, to a shot in the middle of them being escorted to the thing at the end. But like, the only thing at the end that mattered was the woman coming out and being like, want to save the world. Okay. What right. is that? That's what the interesting part of this is. It's not them sitting there being like, well, what happens if you don't show up for work? Oh, well, nothing, because nobody's looking for me. Like, that's irrelevant information to the story that you're trying to tell. Maybe.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe that becomes relevant. Maybe that's why they're both like picked for whatever this is. But like, in the moment, it just seems extraneous and things that I don't need to see in order to enjoy the show. But yeah, I mean, we've,
yeah. And the more I'm watching it, the more Juliet seems an awful lot like the same character in Pluribus.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, they're starting to like get confused in my mind because they're, you know, it's another similar apocalyptic kind of story.
What's her name? Who plays Juliet? She does look strikingly similar to Rhea Seehorn, who plays,
is that Rebecca Ferguson?
Rebecca Ferguson. They look very similar, and there are times when I'm like, oh, that's a chick from Pluribus. Wait, no, it's not. And Rebecca Ferguson, especially in this last episode, seemed to have trouble covering her accent, because there was a couple of times where she was screaming at somebody where I was like, oh, she's not trying to do an accent at all. She's just in her regular voice. And right. I don't know what the impetus of that was, other than like, I can't do this. You know, but like it seemed like she was struggling a lot. But, you know, there's only a season and a half of this left, too, so.
Right.
You know, whatever they do is.
Well, four episodes left of Silo.
And then there's a half a season next year? Yeah. Something like that?
I mean, are they going to make it back to 17? Are they going to bring the kids over? Are the kids feral? Are they dead? You know.
Yeah.
There's still way too much to be explored.
Yeah, and there's definitely a lot of questions left that they need to answer. Just in the Silo story without having the flashback. So I don't know how much time they'll actually have.
Yeah.
Unless the last couple of episodes are like supersized episodes where they're just answering questions left and right.
You'd hope.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a month left. That's it.
Yeah.
It is kind of interesting that Camille is kind of coming to the forefront as being like the real villain for this thing.
Yeah. Well, it seems like being the head of IT is almost like there's the algorithm corrupts you into only doing what they consider best for the Silo and not so much like best for the people.
Right.
Because Bernard was that way until he was out of that position. And now he's more like, he's more sympathetic as a character, not just because he's burned, but like, he's got all this information where he's like, here's all the shit that you need to know about this. So
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's that corruption of power. Maybe that's like the idea of the story.
Could be. I just hope we all find out that they're not in purgatory waiting to go to heaven together.
No, that's just Lost. The Silos were dead all along.
Right? Yeah. We're going to throw out all these seasons of storytelling.
Yeah.
Still bitter. Have you checked out Stuart Fails to Save the Universe?
I've seen the first episode. I have not seen the next two.
Okay.
Are they up to episode three?
Yeah.
I've heard about cameos though, so feel free.
So the second episode was, what was it called? Was the one where they had, oh, Zach's in this one.
Okay.
Was the name of the episode. Spoiler, Zach's in this one. Where they go to a kind of totalitarian version of Earth where there's this giant kind of eye in the sky and everybody's got a sensor on the back of their neck that if they show anger, they immediately get you know, shocked. And those were some of the funniest scenes.
Okay.
Zach and Penny are both in it.
Right. Yeah. I'd
Penny seen... looks a little rough. I thought one of the funniest things is that so the group gets sent to reorientation. That's like a 30 day something where they have, you know, it's, they have to be like reeducated, and it's the, orientation is hosted by Christine Baranski, not as Leonard's mother, but as actress Christine Baranski. Oh. I was like, okay, that's kind of clever.
Okay.
And then in the most recent one, they go to a Earth that's where magic is real. Okay. And Bernadette is in it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I think it's funny. I think they're trying to create something new out of lightning that struck.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid they're going to fall into the habit of, well, who's the next cameo? It's like the last one had Bernadette and Will Wheaton were okay. Characters in it.
Okay.
It's like, okay, that's kind of cool for the fanboy series service, but how is this going to go on?
Yeah.
You know you're not going to get Jim Parsons and Johnny Galecki back.
Unless they do cameos in like the final episode or something.
Yeah, but both of them don't want to revisit those characters anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, Galecki's pretty much left Hollywood.
And
Parsons on Broadway in Titanic.
Oh, is that what he's doing?
Yeah, he plays Kate Winslet's mother.
Oh.
So, yeah, he's really trying to get rid of that stigma.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I liked the first episode. I did think like it is different enough. You know, I liked it that like Penn and Teller's in it as themselves. You know, because Teller was actually... Wasn't he Amy's dad in the series? And mm-hmm. I don't know if Penn was ever on it or not. I can't remember.
I can't remember if he was.
I know he did Modern Family, but I don't remember if he did Big Bang Theory. But like it was fun enough, like the scenes of them throwing the potassium grenades throughout the school was fun. Like, you know, all that stuff. I liked, when I can't remember her name, the female that Stewart's in love with.
Yeah.
Well, she like she's got a boyfriend and he's like, all right, cover me. And then he like instantly dies. I was like, all right, that's funny. That shit's funny. But as soon as Rod showed up, I was like, oh, here we go. Like they couldn't get out of the first episode without like a cameo from the full cast.
Right.
So, you know, is Howard going to show up at some point? Is, you know,
I'm sure he is.
I mean, Bernadette showed up, so why wouldn't, you know? I don't know. I feel like maybe Chuck Lorre and Bill Prady could talk the main two into like just a brief cameo, like, you know, we'll show up for a day and whatever we get, you know, we'll work into the show. I don't know.
They need to get Mark Hamill on it.
That'd be funny.
Denise is Stewart's girlfriend.
Denise. Okay.
And the actress who was Dr. Nowicki.
Yeah.
In Big Bang.
Yeah.
She's in the Eye in the Sky episode.
Okay.
The Zack and Penny episode.
Yeah. When I saw the pictures of Penny, I was like, oh, okay. Cause I thought for sure that she would have said no, being that core group, but I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, she looks very, I don't know, severe? Maybe it's just the dark hair.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you look at, like, photos of her today and in the past, it's like, yeah, she's definitely not aging well.
Well, you know. Maybe she's just not deciding to get, like, you know, surgery and shit. Maybe she just wants to age the way however she's going to age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and Big Bang was on for, what, 11 years?
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe, yeah. I mean, maybe she's just gotten to a point of, like, well, this is how I'm going to age.
Right. Hey, good for her.
Yeah.
Have you watched anything else?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I got two more for you.
Okay.
On Prime, there's an animated Batman series called Batman Caped Crusader.
Okay.
And it takes place in the 1940s. It's really good.
This is on Prime?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's two seasons. So the first season had Minnie Driver playing the Penguin.
Oh.
And it's kind of like there are... costumed villains, but like Ed Nygma is in it, and they call him the Riddler, but he's just a gangster.
Okay.
So far. Jervis Tetch is now a woman, Hattie Tetch, who's kind of a Fox News caster kind of character, but in the 1940s.
Yeah.
Catwoman was like the old school Catwoman, where she's got like the long dress and the kind of purple blue outfit.
Yeah.
And she's voiced by Christina Ricci.
Oh.
I mean, I really liked it. I like flew through season two and then went back and watched season one. And in season two, they're kind of gearing up for the unveiling of the Joker. Because there are all these people getting kind of mutated by green gas, but you never see him until the very end. And because the character, the Joker, was based on this German actor, he's German.
Oh, okay.
It's a really interesting take, because they don't... kind of like how Gotham tried really, really hard to stay in the cops versus gangster kind of mode, that they left out the good characters.
Yeah.
This one is kind of riding the fence on it.
Okay.
Like Commissioner Gordon is now black. Bullock is a bad cop.
Okay.
It's a really cool take on it.
Okay.
Really cool. And the voice of Batman in this is Hamish Linklater.
Okay.
Who was Julia Louis-Dreyfus's brother on Old Christine.
Oh, okay.
Totally unrecognizable. But like all the characters are there. It's very, very well done.
Nice.
I think you would like it. It's in the style of the animated series.
Yeah.
But it's totally different storytelling.
Looking at my watch list on Amazon Prime, it's on there. And apparently I watched the first three episodes.
Okay.
And that's where I stopped, but I don't remember why. I mean, it's Batman, so I think it was just one of those things where I don't know if they were all released. It looks like they were all released on the same day.
Probably.
But for some reason, I never followed through on it. Maybe I just forgot. I don't know. Because as soon as you said Minnie Driver is as the Penguin, like that clicks something in my mind. So, yeah, looking at it, I watched the first three. I'll have to pick it back up.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely worth watching.
Sweet.
And the last thing I watched is another Prime series called Ride or Die.
Yeah.
And it stars Hattie, what's her name? Hannah Waddingham.
Oh, okay.
From Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
And Octavia Spencer. And I started watching the first episode. I'm like, oh, this is going to be like that stupid Melissa McCarthy spy movie.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was like Jack Reacher with women.
Really?
It was really, really good and intense.
Oh, okay.
Fight scenes, violence, really, really well done.
Okay.
I was surprised.
I'm adding it to my list right now.
Yeah. Hannah Waddingham plays an assassin, and Octavia Spencer is her best friend, who's a housewife, who's going to go back to be pro bono lawyer. And they met when Octavia Spencer was having car trouble, and just really weird story. And then as you go through it, it's like this backstory is like really, really detailed. Bill Nighy, who's not Jack Sparrow, who's Davy Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
The Pirates of Caribbean movies.
Uh-huh.
Is kind of like the leader of this spy agency, and he's recruited all of these young teens to basically be trained like Scarlett Johansson and Florence Pugh are in the Avengers movies.
Yeah, like Black Widows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only 8 episodes, but it's really entertaining the whole way through it. I think you would like it.
Okay.
I think you would like it. I mean, there's like some Ocean's 11 stuff. There's, you know, some Jack Reacher, Mission Impossible. Really, really fun.
Nice. I love
Reacher. No word yet if there's going to be like... Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I thought watching this after I got over, you know, Hannah Waddingham in bed with this young guy, and you see a shot of her from behind and like all the scars and deformities on her back from, you know, all these battles that she's had. And it's like, wow. Okay, this is not a comedy.
Well, that's good. We don't need another Melissa McCarthy thing.
No, no. It was really, really good. I hope they come up with a second season. And that's it.
That's it?
That's it. Okay. Yes. We did have a celebrity death while we were off the air.
Who?
Big Pussy.
Oh, yeah. He just died, didn't
From
he?
From The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last week.
Yeah. He was like 80.
Yeah.
Yeah, that cast keeps getting smaller and smaller. Yeah.
So, I guess there had been like stuff in the news about him like celebrating his 80th birthday and then like he died.
Yeah. It's The Sopranos shot in New Jersey in places that I recognize. When I went through the series after it had been off the air for a while, the butcher shop that they always hang out with the pig statue above the door was two buildings down from the firehouse my dad worked at. And
oh, wow.
I spent a lot of time visiting my dad at that firehouse and seeing like those intersections and like those locations, like a lot of those locations I've been to like before The Sopranos was ever a thing. So like whenever I see that, the show and like hear that some of those people have gone, it's kind of sad because it's a lot of nostalgia.
Yeah. Little Steven was one of his pallbearers. Yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Didn't become a professional actor until he was 40. In his 40s.
Wow. Was he one of the guys that was like an actual mobster beforehand?
No. He ran nightclubs.
Oh, okay. Huh. Wow.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. It's always interesting when you see those guys that didn't start acting until like later part in their life and they have like a really good career.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll start acting.
There you go.
I wouldn't even know where to begin.
Get your TikTok.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I had one more thing flagged.
Uh-oh.
But there's not much detail on it.
Okay.
So apparently Disney is going to do a TV series about Spaceship Earth.
I saw that, and I have no clue what that means. Is it going to be like a nature or like history of communication show?
No. No, it's going to be like a sci-fi thing. The showrunner from It is working on it, Jason Fuchs.
Okay.
And it's the tagline is, when a mission to avert an imminent global cataclysm goes awry, a small band of teenagers from Earth's past and future must join forces to confront a threat as vast and mysterious as time itself.
Oh, that sounds awful.
I hope it's not Tomorrowland Part 2. Because that was horrible.
Yeah. Oh, man. Why does Disney keep doing this?
Because they have no original ideas.
Walt would be so upset.
Yeah.
You know, everything I know about Walt is he really the striving factor of his life was like pushing technology and doing things that nobody had ever seen before. And here we are so many years later and they're just rehashing what's there.
Well, and trying to keep it all affordable, and now it's just a money grab.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
But there you have it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can maybe send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
You're in my spot.